How can an understanding of the theology of the cross help in times of pain, suffering, and loss? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is titled The Problem of Suffering, A Father's Hope. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Problem of Suffering by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Problem of Suffering, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. Well, the all-too-recognizable voice and stylings of Lady Gaga, she is a phenomenon. She is a celebrity with a capital C. She is, I think, thinking through every detail of her career with the skill of a surgeon, and she's got a message, a worldview that she also puts into her songs. What is it? Joining us on this Wednesday afternoon to talk about the worldview of Lady Gaga, Dr. Doug Grodheis, professor of philosophy at Denver Seminary, author of several books, including his latest Christian Apologetics, and he's also written an article for the latest Christian Research Journal titled Discerning and Responding to Gaga's Worldview. Dr. Grodheis, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be here.
For those who do not follow this segment of pop culture, as large as it is, introduce us to Lady Gaga.
Yes. Well, her real name is Stephanie Germanotta. She's Italian-American, was raised on the Lower East Side of New York. And in the last 2 or 3 years, she's become fantastically popular as a pop star. She's only in her mid-20s. And she's very well known for her outrageous costumes. She's had several hit recordings, and she's been able to market herself as a really mega celebrity very, very quickly. She kind of exploded on the scene. And another thing that's important about her, not just that she's influential or that she's well known in her music, but she advocates a particular perspective on life with quite a bit of zeal, and that's why I wanted to write about her. My musical tastes are far different than what draw me to her music, and I find really her stage presence quite disgusting. But the issue is, how is she affecting people? And also, just to be concerned about her, I think she's a very sad, although very popular and very wealthy young lady.
So if she is kind of one of those pop icons that comes and then eventually, of course, like all of them do, goes, why should we take the worldview reflected in her music seriously?
Mm-hmm. Well, at least for now and for the last several years, she has had tens of millions of fans around the world. And part of her persona, at least, is that she is very committed to her fans. She calls them little monsters. And if you see some of the interviews with her fans, they tear up. They're very sentimental about her because she supposedly gives this message of self-empowerment, that everyone is a superstar, which is impossible, of course, because everyone can't be a superstar, because a superstar is better than most people. But nevertheless, there's lots of hyperbole here. But like many American performers, unlike European performers, Gaga is a theist. She believes in God. She was raised Roman Catholic. So religious themes come into her music. Now, it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ by any means, but there is a kind of spirituality and a residue of her Roman Catholic upbringing. And when you think about the fact that 9-year-old girls idolize this woman, and a lot of other people do as well, and that she's a leading advocate of accepting homosexual practices, accepting same-sex marriage, and so on. Like it or not, this is someone we have to take seriously.
How would you characterize Gaga's worldview?
It's difficult to get really precise about it. As I said, she's a theist. She makes references, positive references to God, and even to Jesus Christ. Again, not the gospel, but she has this strong sense of the affirmation of self unconditionally. She's very well known for this book, this song, called Born This Way, which celebrates anyone's sexual orientation as legitimate. So she tries to ground it in God. The idea is that God doesn't make any mistakes. So whether you're heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, transgender, God doesn't make any mistakes. So, in fact, the lyric says, no matter gay, straight, bi, lesbian, transgendered life, I'm on the right track, baby. You know, don't be a drag, just be a queen. So you've got this idea of some supernatural realm and that God is involved in our stories, our lives, but God made everything just perfectly, and the idea of being bisexual or homosexual is not viewed as a deviation from the pattern of creation, which is the biblical view, but it's just fine the way it is, because Gaga's ultimate message is the affirmation of self against social convention.
Yet, as you point out, the subtle appeal in it may be that it is couched as essentially a, what shall we say, a theological argument. Instead of it simply saying, I was born this way, isn't she arguing, God made me this way, therefore...
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah, it's a theological argument for something that the Bible takes to be inherently sinful. That is, sexual activity outside of heterosexual marriage. And I put it this way in the article to show the problem with her argument. If all sexual identity is given at birth, then all sexual activity is justified. Two, all sexual identity is given immutably at birth. That's what she claims, which would conclude that all sexual activity is justified. If I was born this way, then that's the way I have to express myself sexually. But consider some things she doesn't mention in her list, like pedophilia, propensities to rape, commit incest, and so on. What if that person simply says, I was born that way, I was born a pedophile, or I was born a polygamist, something like that? That really reduces the argument to absurdity, because we don't justify every activity on the basis of a propensity. We view some propensities as perverse. So then you have to ask, what is the standard? By what standard do we judge and know these things? And biblically, we judge things by God's created order. And we have to factor in something that Gaga never considers, and that is the fall. Her worldview is utterly lacking that idea. She speaks of her own difficulties and suffering and so on, but we know by virtue of the doctrine of the fall that anything besides heterosexual marriage is out of step with God. These things are a result of being east of Eden. And any activity, whether it's heterosexual promiscuity or homosexual activity or bisexual activity, is wrong and is hurtful to human beings and is an offense against an infinitely holy God. So whether we've sinned in that way or we've sinned in any other way, all have fallen short of the glory of God and all need the righteousness of Christ. Now, sadly, that's just not part of her message, because it's ultimately a message of self. And God is brought in to justify the desires and urges of the self.
We'll take a break when we come back. A question I've got about, and this isn't unique to Lady Gaga, but she certainly exemplifies it for today's, and in this very moment and hour's pop culture, and that is the presupposition that we are in constant reinvention. Now, is that in conflict? Basic conflict with the other part of her worldview, which is, I was born this way, God made me this way. It's a very deterministic theism, in opposition to the notion that we can reinvent ourselves, that we are not determined what we're going to be. Just watch Lady Gaga day by day, sometimes minute by minute, and you will see that constant reinvention. that constant changing of the image never remains the same song to song. How many costume changes are there in the course of one Lady Gaga concert? How many times does she reinvent herself every day? And what's the message in that? We'll be right back. How can an understanding of the theology of the cross help in times of pain, suffering, and loss? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is titled The Problem of Suffering, A Father's Hope. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Problem of Suffering by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Problem of Suffering, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Less funding reveals lack of results in embryonic stem cell research.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Geron Corporation, which performed the first government-approved test of embryonic stem cell therapy, announced it is abandoning its stem cell program. Pro-lifers view this as good news because such research can only take place by killing a human embryo to use its cells. Geron cited financial reasons for the move, but this highlights the lack of success embryonic research has had in producing cures or helping patients in clinical trials. On the other hand, adult stem cells have been used to treat more than 70 diseases or conditions.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the worldview of celebrity and pop music star Lady Gaga. Doug Grotheis is our guest. He's professor of philosophy at Denver Seminary, author of several books, including his latest titled Christian Apologetics, and he's written about the worldview of Lady Gaga in the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal, his article titled Discerning and Responding to Gaga's Worldview. You mentioned before one part of the worldview. There's another part here, Doug, that I want you to talk about. It is the theme of constant reinvention, and we get to watch Gaga do this in real time, even in the course of a concert. There's a number of reiterations of this person. There is a message in that, too.
Right, and here's another problem with her basic worldview is she talks about the fact that we're born a particular way, and we're born heterosexual or bisexual or something like that. But then, in her music, she talks about reinvention, and she says that the whole point of her music is that we can be born again and again, that is, we can reinvent ourselves. But you really can't have it both ways, because if your essential identity is sealed at birth or before birth, you know, I was born that way, and I was made that way, and that's who I am, you can't deviate from your own constitution, from your own essence, your own substance. So it's very incoherent. She wants to be able to defend sexual perversity on the basis of I can't help it, but then she wants to affirm endless reinventions of the self as a mode of experimenting in the postmodern world. It's very confused, very contradictory, and some might think, wasn't it a little strange for a philosophy professor to be assessing the worldview of a pop star? But there are philosophies behind these songs and behind the performances, and like it or not, Lady Gaga influences tens of millions of people, and more people are influenced by her worldview than will ever read my books or go to one of my lectures. So I think here we need to, as Paul says, take every thought captive to obey Christ and try to understand what she's saying and then consider her significance. And if we have children, grandchildren, younger friends, say, do you know what she's saying? Do you know what she stands for? Have you imbibed this unconsciously? Because as Francis Schaeffer said, a lot of people take in their worldview unconsciously, or they kind of catch a worldview the way you would catch measles. And when you're hearing Lady Gaga everywhere, and she's on television and the internet, radio, and everything else, it's very easy to simply start thinking that way. So I wrote this article to challenge her.
Maybe even a greater danger here, and you've just mentioned it, Doug, is that since the two tenets of her worldview, reinvention, kind of reinvention out of your will, mm-hmm. and this strange theistic determinism, mm-hmm. that she also, since those are two completely incompatible ways to think about yourself and the world, is a greater danger in a worldview like hers that people will adopt both those, but be completely unaware that they're holding two completely different worldviews.
Right. That's one of the battles we have to face as Christians. We know that God is a God of truth. All truth is God's truth. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God and was God and revealed himself to human beings. Christians should be people of good logic and sound reasoning. And when we defend the faith, we want to defend it as logical and based on the best evidence from science and history and psychology and all the rest of it. I just wrote a 752-page book about that. But what's really concerning to me as a philosopher, as an apologist, is when people don't seem to care about logical consistency. They just embrace ideas as if they were sampling food from a smorgasbord. Take a little bit of A, a little bit of non-A, a little bit of B, a little bit of non-B, and so on. And as long as they don't feel they're getting indigestion, everything's just fine. But it's not, because logic is the way the world works. We don't understand everything perfectly, but obviously if we're holding positions, we don't want to contradict ourselves. But tragically, a lot of people in our culture simply take in these ideas because they give people a kind of thrill or a sense of style, and they don't use their God-given intellect to assess these things.
You quote an article in The Atlantic by, I believe, Spencer Kornhaber, who talks about Gaga's guilt-free gospel. He says that Lady Gaga is certain of her own righteousness. Her emotional enemy is not shame, but insecurity. Mm-hmm. What is Kornhaber saying there?
Well, you do see in Lady Gaga kind of a wounded little girl, in a sense, and I'm not excusing her for that, but she is trying to work through some of her broken relationships and so on, but she's not repenting before God. She's not calling out for divine assistance through the cross of Christ. The real fear is that she won't believe in herself enough, or she won't achieve enough, or her little monster fans will somehow fail to authentically be themselves and then reinvent themselves. So the appeals to God are really just to shore up the self, to feel more secure, to build up self-esteem. The appeal to God is not, God, have mercy on me, a miserable sinner. It's really, God, help me to believe in myself more. And that's really the counterfeit gospel that she is presenting. There's no sense of guilt or shame. You can see that by the way she displays herself and by her comments of being sexually promiscuous, being bisexual, taking illegal drugs, and so on. So she wants everyone to unconditionally accept themselves and to live out of this identity and then be free to reinvent it any way you want to. And that's really a nihilistic message, ultimately. There's no standard. There's no final court of appeal. God is just there to bolster your self-esteem and to give you courage to do whatever you want to do.
But in that narrow sense, Doug, doesn't she at least in that narrow way, share or have allies in a lot of pop American Christianity, where God is there essentially as a means to an end, the end yes. being your own self-fulfillment.
Oh, exactly. I think she plays out the worst of a lot of American Christianity in a larger-than-life, rather spectacular form. So maybe that's a good word to us to get back to basics of worship and obedience and repentance. God is the creator. We're the creature. God is holy. We are unholy. Christ is the mediator, and we are the ones who need the mediation because of our sin before God. But those categories are not clearly functioning in her songs, in her persona. I think she's got a dim memory of the Christian story from her upbringing, but it has been terribly distorted.
A couple thoughts here. I'd like your reaction. We've seen a similar path, a similar course followed by many of our celebrated persons, inside and outside the music industry, where it's reinvention, it is self-affirmation. You say that it is ultimately a nihilistic worldview, and in some of their cases, we've watched it play itself all the way out to its nihilistic conclusion in self-destruction. Talk about that.
Well, that's my concern. When I first started doing a little research on Lady Gaga, I thought, this woman is in danger. She has a pre-lupus condition. She's obviously pushing her body to the limits. She sometimes falls off of her ridiculous high heels on stage. She abuses various types of drugs. And I think of so many celebrities. I thought especially of Jimi Hendrix going way back to 1970. He died of an accidental drug overdose at age 27. Very talented, very energetic, also perverse sexually and spiritually in many ways. And he was basically out of control. And he died. He inhaled his own vomit and choked to death. And when I see a young woman like this with energy and a certain amount of talent, but with a very twisted worldview and no sense of morality, I worry about her. You know, I pray for her. I hope that the Lord will break into her life and show her that whatever skills and talents she has are from God, and she needs to embrace shame. She needs to embrace low self-esteem so she can esteem Christ properly. So I'm not just doing a cold kind of analysis of her worldview. As a Christian, I'm really worried about her and concerned that she may destroy herself. And sadly, she's giving a very destructive worldview to tens of millions of people all around the planet.
We're talking about the worldview of Lady Gaga. Dr. Doug Grotheis is our guest. When we come back for the next 10 minutes of the program, I'm wondering, even if it doesn't end in self-destruction, even if it ends in just kind of celebrity burnout, she doesn't kill herself trying to be famous the rest of her life, what's the message to her millions of fans then? We'll get Doug's answer to that on the other side of the break. I'll tell you one thing. That kind of worldview shared by so many has no place and no explanation and no real redemption at the end of human suffering. I want you to listen to this from our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. Our faith in Christ does not allow us to escape our temporality and the very real experience of separation from those we love when they die. We grieve. We who grieve remain now on this side of the event horizon of death. We believers grieve, but we never grieve in absolute isolation. We weep to the God who wept for us as one of us. The difference between the grief of the Christian and those who grieve without hope is Christ. That's from our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. It's called The Problem of Suffering. Find out about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
We're talking about the worldview of Lady Gaga. Dr. Doug Grotheis is our guest. It's Wednesday afternoon, January the 11th, here on Issues Etc., coming to you live. Dr. Doug Grotheis is professor of philosophy at Denver Seminary, author of several books, including his latest called Christian Apologetics, and he's written an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled Discerning and Responding to Gaga's Worldview. You talked about the real possibility of this nihilism leading to self-destruction before the break, Doug, but even if she doesn't kill herself trying to stay famous with that worldview, she is bound to burn out sooner or later. You can only take so much of it and reinvent yourself so many times. What's the message then to her millions of fans?
Right. It's very hollow. It's empty because she started out spectacular. She started out over the top, outrageous. She didn't work her way up to it, really. So where do you go from there? What is the most outrageous thing to do? She doesn't really trade on her musical abilities so much as her image. And how long can you keep that up? Now, a performing artist who relies on deep talent and skill and creative innovation, can keep a career going for a lifetime. But the mode that Gaga uses, I think, will burn out fairly quickly. And then what happens to the ashes?
The difference here may be with other popular artists. Many of them, as you said before, have no theism in their worldview, and they really have no message. I mean, a lot of them are simply there to entertain and reap the benefits of their success. I mean, they want to be a rock star, and it's a pretty good lifestyle and a pretty good living if you can pull it off. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you're saying the thing that may make Lady Gaga a little different from so many of those is that she does have a message.
Mm-hmm. Well, she seems to view herself as kind of a prophet, in a way. She takes a lot of stands on issues, particularly related to homosexuality, and she at least presents herself as very committed and concerned about her fans. Some entertainers in the music world almost seem to despise their fans. The idea is, you'll love me no matter what I do. But she seems to have some kind of genuine affection or some genuine concern for her fans. But she's giving them a very poisonous message. She's certainly not a good role model in any way. And that's one of the odd things about her, is that she's kind of a a nihilistic prophet of false hope. There's something there that draws people to her, and part of it is not just the outrageousness of her. I think part of it is this desire to be loved, this desire to be cared for, desire to have someone to look up to inspire you. And she does that for many millions of people. It's a very sad message. It's a false message. It doesn't give real hope. It's not based on truth, logic, scripture, anything like that. But if we turn away from the real source of life, we'll settle for some pretty ridiculous and horrible counterfeits.
I won't speak to her musical ability, but just in terms of the quality of the entertainment that she provides there, is there also a point of diminishing returns, not only for her, as you mentioned before, how can you top yourself if you start out topping yourself, but for the fans too, that our expectations for entertainment become so high, so ridiculous, we so easily bore
right.
at the ordinary or even at genuine talent.
Well, exactly. And she depends very heavily on technology and extremely heavily on different types of special effects. It's not primarily the musical talent. There's some there. It's not the genre that I gravitate towards at all. It's kind of Euro dance, pop, techno music. But if you just had the music and a plain-looking young woman, or if it was simply Stephanie without all the makeup and high heels and special effects, we would never hear of her. I don't think she could live or create a career just on her musical talent. In fact, she's referred to herself, interesting statement, as a sociologist of fame. So she's really an expert or a genius on becoming famous. Now, that's quite interesting, because how could someone really be an artist and simply want to become famous? Because the idea of creating art is doing something of value and then having people recognize the value. You may or may not become famous, but when fame becomes the goal, then everything is instrumental to achieving the fame. And how long will that fame last? And what do you have to do to keep generating more and more fame as you go along? It's a strange premise for an artistic venture, really, but she, at this point, has mastered it. How long it will last, who knows.
So famous for being famous.
Yeah, that's right. Well-known for being well-known, as Daniel Boorstin put it, 50 years ago in his book, The Image. I think that's a lot of Lady Gaga. She's developed this gigantic, spectacular persona. And yes, there's some music, and we have images of her, but she says, I'm a sociologist of fame. Everything I do is to generate my own fame.
What does that say about us as a culture, then, Dr. Grotheis, that she's just one among several, that if you look at the celebrated personalities of our culture today, you realize that many of them are famous for being famous?
That's true. So I think we need to ask ourselves some fundamental questions about what is valuable in life. What is the purpose of life? Are we here simply to entertain ourselves and divert ourselves or to draw attention to ourselves? Or are we creatures of a creator put here to love God and love our neighbor? And are we creatures who have fallen short of God's standards, God's commandments? And if so, we need forgiveness. We need justification. We need a reference point beyond ourselves to put ourselves into perspective. And I think of what Jesus said, if you think, paraphrase, you think you're great, you're nothing, but if you take the position of humility and servanthood, then you're really something, then you're in the right position of humility. And there's certainly nothing humble about Lady Gaga.
Finally, then, with only about 30 seconds, if you were addressing a group of school kids, or maybe even their moms in this case, about the worldview of Lady Gaga, with about 30 seconds, what would you say to them?
I'd say it's seductive. It is a false spirituality, and it's logically contradictory and perverse, and ultimately leads to nihilism and the negation of life as God wants it to be lived.
Folks, you can find out more about Dr. Doug Grotheis' latest book, Christian Apologetics, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Doug Grotheis is professor of philosophy at Denver Seminary, author of several books, including Christian Apologetics, and he's also written an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled Discerning and Responding to Gaga's Worldview. Doug, thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Folks, we have no one but our listeners and the God that motivates them to thank for the way that this last year turned out for us here at Issues, Etc. It's a great year, and a big part of it was many of our listeners who used Thrivent's Choice program to support Issues, Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Last year, we received a little more than $15,000 from our listeners through Thrivent Choice. Now, our goal this year for those same listeners and hopefully adding to that list is to raise $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. Now, if you've given to Lutheran Public Radio through the Thrivent Choice program in the past, even last year, you're going to need to resubscribe again this year. It's just a technicality there. Remember, when you go to our website, issuesetc.org, support, and find the Thrivent for Lutherans, Thrivent Financial for Lutherans logo, you need to enter their Lutheran Public Radio, because Lutheran Public Radio is the parent corporation of Issues, Etc., and produces Issues, Etc. That's how you and other Thrivent Choice members can help support Issues, Etc., all through the year 2012. And we hope to get to our goal of $20,000 raised from our listeners through Thrivent Choice. Help us do that. Issuesetc.org, click support, and click the Thrivent Financial for Lutherans logo. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we're going to get Dr. John Warwick Montgomery's response to a recent interview we did with Catherine Jeffords Shorey, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. See what he has to say about the many things that she had to say in that interview. Friday, we'll discuss a Christian response to malaria. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be our guest. Then Monday, we'll study the Epiphany hymn, From God the Father, Virgin Born. Our guest will be Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary. The worldview that is reflected and presented by someone like a celebrity, Lady Gaga, many others do the same thing, suffers from not only can it not be lived unless you live that kind of lifestyle, but also suffers from an absence of a real knowledge of our sin and especially of our Savior Jesus Christ. A wholly different worldview. You might even call it a faith. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.